All right. So hi, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT open coaching call. This is our mid-June or almost mid-June. It's June 12th. And I'm not in my home environment here. I'm in a hotel in Boston. It's my son's 21st birthday today, and we took him to Boston to go to a ball game, but I'm not going to the ball game. The other rest of them are going to the ball game. I get to stay home and work, or stay at the hotel and work. But I don't like ball games anyway, so it's fine. Yeah. So anyway, so we're here for whatever you guys need support with. Angelica, hi. Good to see ya. So what can I support you with? How can I help you? What kind of questions, comments, anything at all? How you doing in your studies? Angelica, unmute. You're chewing, right?
Yeah, I'm slowly. Sorry. I'm eating my fruit.
Did you do the fast last? You said you were going to do like a 2-day fast over the weekend. Did you do it?
Okay. Yeah, I did. Almost 2 days. It was like a little less. And I stopped because I was starting to feel like, well, when it gets real, I was starting to feel it. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm proud of this amount I've done. It's more than I've ever done in my life. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop and I'm going to do another one, you know, at another time, and I'll slowly
build up your tolerance. Yeah. You know, what was it you were feeling? Because this is good to know, because this is, if you are, people are wanting to do it, what are they feeling and how can you guide them through it?
Yeah. Well, I felt pretty good the first 24 hours. I would say right around the 24-hour mark was when I started to get a little bit spacey and I just needed to go home and like lie down. And then when I woke up in the morning, that was when I knew that I had to stop, because I just felt, oh, like I can't get out of bed, like heavy, just like I couldn't even like be in bed and read. I just wanted to like close my eyes.
Yeah, so that's healing happening, right? That's and that's where it takes some getting used to, right? The first time you do it, you go, I don't want to feel this way. But on the other hand, it's like the bridge that takes you to the other side. And on the other side, you feel like amazing. But that, you know, second, third day tend to be the worst for most people. For me, the hardest is the first, because it's a psychological hard. Like, oh, I don't have to do this. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't have to do this. I'll do it tomorrow. Once I make it past that, I don't care. You know, but it used to be for me the third day, I would wake up. And like, that was the only time I've ever gotten night sweats. I'm sure this is what night sweats feel like when you go through menopause. I don't know. I didn't get any of that. But it was just like this, like massively, completely drenched head to toe and so weak that I literally would crawl to the kitchen. And the first couple of times that happened, I go, well, I'm not fasting. And I would just like juice a half a grapefruit and put some water in it and just drink that down just to get some sugar into me. But now I just flip past it, and it just, your body gets so used to it, and then it quickly gets into this healing state. Really good to do when you're fasting or doing any modified fasting, which is like low caloric, low glycemic kind of eating, is to measure your ketones and your glucose.
Yeah.
There's the ratio. And I've been playing with that, and ever since I broke my fast last Thursday night. Ever since then, I've been staying in that ratio. I think I went out of it a little bit once, but I've been doing that. So I'm really tracking that, so we can teach people how to do that. You know, get into autophagy without having to fast. So that's where we were on that call where we came up with eat without fasting.
It's great.
So I'm excited to get some time to work on that sometime soon.
Yeah. So I think it's great. Yeah, I'm curious. Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, especially for women, I feel like a lot of the fasting information available out there on the internet, on videos, is oriented. It's done by men. I would love to see more water fasting information for women, because I really think that we react differently to water fasting
than men. And to keto, too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But I liked it. Like, I did like the I liked the power of it. Like I could definitely feel it was working. So
yeah. Did you feel it in your gut? Like your gut felt calmer and.
Oh yeah. That was the best part. Oh, I just felt, yeah, my gut was just really, really calm after that. And that was really nice.
That's really nice. And that's sometimes what the gut needs is just a rest because it doesn't ever get the rest. I'm going to turn the lights on because it's getting dark in here.
Yeah.
It doesn't get rest like the rest of the bod.
I just read today John McMahon's email about his fasting journey. And that, you know, yeah, he's a guy, but it was still pretty interesting and powerful. And, and, you know, he looks like a completely different.
Completely different person. Yeah. Mm. The body is so precious. One of the people, I actually guided him through a 28-day water fast, and he begged and pleaded. He was a friend's husband, and we got, you know, agreed. There was a whole bunch of things. I normally wouldn't do that because it's a high liability because he was on insulin, metformin, and blood pressure medication. So it was – anyway, we did it. But the way we did it was I said, okay, you're going to do a day of fasting. Then you're going to do 2 days of fasting. Then you're going to do 3 days of fasting. Then you're going to do four. Because let's just, I want you to take me through a 28-day water fast. I'm like, let's just see how you do with fasting. So he built himself up to that. At one point when he got to four, he was going to go to five, but he stopped because he got freaked out because his glucose went down to 56. So I said, okay, what this means is you're going to go to your doctor and say, you know, lower the insulin. And so the doctor told him you can go down by this much insulin every day. So when we actually started the full 28 days, he had instructions from his doctor and he could monitor his insulin all at the same time. And he finally got off of the insulin at about 2 weeks in, he was off completely. Wow. And then by 3 weeks in, he was off the metformin as well. But he did it gradually. He did it like, and then he would do like, okay, I'll eat for 2 days, fast for 2 days. I'll eat for 3 days, I'll fast for 3 days. And he just created this regime for himself to get him used to it. And then January 1, he was committed. January 1, I'm starting. And he went 28 days.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're having some really great experiences on the Green Cleanse.
Mm. Awesome.
This is a really great group of people. They're in it. They're in it. They're committed, but they're also flow. It's like, you know, I don't have that. I'm going to use this.
Oh, that's great.
And even as far as the assessments, you know, there is a technology blurb. I'll take a screenshot and I'll remember that later, but I'm not going to get all freaked out because the submit button didn't work. And I'm like, yes. So it's just such a flowy, nice, flowy group of people.
Nice. Well, it's ERC and NEPT mainly, right? And the body balance people are pretty.
And body balance, yeah.
Yeah, and those three.
And body freedom.
Well, there was only two people other than ERC in that one, so. Turn on a light. Give me a second, I'm going to turn on a light over here so it doesn't get in my face. That's a piece of it. You know, I've been mapping out on the plane today. I have an iPad that you can write on, and I forgot that I did until Claudia showed me hers at the retreat. I'm like, I have one of those pens. I have one of those iPads. Why am I using it? So I was on the plane, and I always take these notes, and then I lose the notebooks, and then it's all over the place. So I started taking it, and I actually started mapping out, like, what would be a process for taking somebody through what they really need, right? The ideal program of they're coming in. We don't know them from Adam. What do we do first? What do we do next to take them through some of the emotional hurdles, right? And some of the water, the goals, the stress. And I just started mapping that out. And I'm really excited by what I have so far. And once I get it further along, I'll share it with everybody because I'm going to use it to model it at ERC this year. Yeah, with input from all you guys too. So.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see.
It's like, so people jump in, and I was talking about this on this other call, right? They jump right in. Oh, they have hot flashes. So therefore they must have female hormone imbalances. So let's test the female hormones and, oh, they have female oil. Let's give them a Don Quai and let's give them, DIM and whatever. But it's still not addressing the real root cause. Like, well, what's their digestion doing? What's their thyroid doing? What's their adrenals doing? Right. So back to that.
And also, so I put together, because I'm kind of veering more into the stuff with the planets and so forth. And so I just put together a little sheet because we have a full moon next week, but it had a couple of herbs in there and talked about adaptogenic herbs and you know, the whole bit about, you know, your constitution. Are you dry? Are you hot? Do you have mucus? You know, some of those basic constitutional things to look at rather than I have Hashimoto's. I have
the box, the diagnosis. Yes.
Right, exactly. And yes. So
but that's what we're really looking at. When we do those questions, you're looking at a group of symptoms, not a symptom.
Right. Like, right.
Yeah.
It's what is, you know, does your skin feel hot? What does your tongue look like? What do your eyes look like?
I feel pretty hot after that call just a minute ago. I don't know how people work on laptops, quite frankly.
That's all I have.
I'm like, because I'm trying to see the slides. I'm trying to see the chat. I'm trying to see my notes on the slides so I don't miss anything. And then I'm trying to see the chat at the same time. And I've got two computers going. And I feel like
I just have two screens. So like today when I did the green cleanse, I just have two tabs up. And so one is where I'm doing the slides and everything, and then I'll just kind of jump over and look and see if there's any questions.
In this particular one, I was trying to do Camtasia backup recording because it's an editable video, and I wanted to edit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so I just got a microphone because I do. I just did my second one. Well, a couple weeks ago. Once a month, I'm doing guided meditations, and I'm selling them. So they're only a couple bucks, but you know, because I'm kind of new at this, and until I get a little better.
Great.
Oh, so anyway, I'm just kind of experimenting with different things and different formats and what I can do, and reading about. Or watching your example, because I know one of the things you teach about is having a signature program. And, you know, so I'm just kind of watching what you're doing and developing and to see if that's even what I want to do. But
Your signature program is going to be way different than mine, right? I mean, yours being something related to planets and herbology and, you know, and
mine, there are some similarities because my ideal client is a busy mom who's bone sucking tired. And so she is looking for herbs and she wants those natural things. But there is some similarity in that I bring them because they're so busy that they, you know, they don't take care of themselves. They're always busy taking care of other people. So, she's got leaky gut, she's got leaky bladder, she has a leaky brain, she has leaky energy, and it's because she has leaky boundaries. And so they're not going to be, it's like I have two groups of people that I'm working with, but this group people, you know, they'll get to a point where I can ask them the astrology type questions and apply some of that medical astrology stuff. But in the beginning, you know, are you drinking water?
Of course.
Right? You know? And so my opt-in is changed to three herbs you can put in your water to have some energy. Because, you know, because that was my story. My story is I woke up one day and couldn't get out of bed. And these are the types of things that you do. And so I'm not sure. So I'm just kind of playing with it to see
A signature program would be that program that appeals to your ideal avatar. That's an entry. Like it's a subset of the big thing
Correct.
That gets them in, right? So, yeah. You know, I lead with blood sugar balance, right? I have all those other programs.
Right.
I don't lead with that. I lead with my signature program is Sweet Spot.
Right. Yeah. No, my signature program is exhaustion.
Well, you can't sell exhaustion because they have enough of it and they'll want to sell it back to you.
Right. And I'll say, yeah, nope. But I'm just saying, you know, yours is blood sugar balancing. So mine is.
Well, my symptoms are fatigue, but the approach that I take is the blood sugar balancing. So you're just going to figure out what is it that you want to call this signature program that gets them excited to come in. I mean, my new signature program may end up being like a lead program, maybe the one that I haven't opened up yet, which is called the Everyday Hormone Energy Jumpstart, because it basically takes them through a little one day of each of the pillars, like one day, one action that they get to do today.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, for the week of the, got an update. For the week of digestion, it's like every day they get something to do that's little and small. And, you know, it's just these little things that they do to jumpstart that piece, not to go deep dive, but to just get them feeling a little bit better.
Right.
And I've got somebody actually writing copy for that so that I can, I've got to look through it and see how they're doing, but a bunch of Ocean Robbins, I tested it out on Ocean Robbins. I gave it to him as a bonus for the, Food Revolution Summit. And so we have like 100 people or so, maybe more, probably a few hundred people by now going through it. So it means I have to hurry up and do the module 7, which is the upsell. Let's see if we can get
it. But that's kind of the thing. I know not everybody in NEPT is thinking of being a practitioner or health coach, but we do in so many ways coach our family and our friends. So right now, my grandson had his tonsils out. I have a granddaughter who they suspect is deaf. I have a grandson that is on the autism spectrum. And there's all this inflammation that's happening. So I'm meeting with I'm coaching my daughters because they're the parents.
That's great if they're listening. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, well, now they are because it's affecting their kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, so all of us here that are on this call are coaches, whether we have a paying client or we have a friend or we have a relative. And so as we learn all of this information, you know, one, the basic thing that you're sharing here, at least it's my perception, is that, you know, meet them where they're at. You know, what is it they need? The people you're talking about here, you know, they need to hear, slow down. Are you drinking your water? Are you chewing your food?
Yeah, I know about drinking water. Tell me what herbs I should take. Yeah, I know about drinking my water. What should I take for my parasites?
Yep, exactly.
Right. And,
right. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, are you drinking your water? And that's where I get kind of, I've been, and again, this is for all of us as we talk to people, because they'll say that and it's like, oh, okay, it's okay. I'll tell you what you need. No, you have to be, because if you're good and grounded in yourself, you know, this is my inner mom, then you know that what you're towing the hard line on for them is for them. You know, sure, I can give you herbs. I can tell you things to do to help with your parasites, and we'll do that, but you need to drink water and you need to do it consistently.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everybody that I've ever worked with, it's like, yeah, I know I should drink water, and I used to.
I just don't want to go to the bathroom all day long.
I used to take digestive enzymes. I used to do digestive bitters. So that's really our job as coaches, because, you know, we can give them all the brilliance, but they're still not going to do it until we stand up and say, listen, this is what you want. This is what you got to do. And it starts with chewing your food and drinking your water.
Mm-hmm. The simple stuff, right?
I have a question. real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Parasite. My sister just got back from a 3-week stint in Portugal, Spain, has parasite. She hasn't had a solid movement in, well, since she first started feeling crappy, so a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And she ordered some social media influencers parasite formula. It's herbal, it's natural. You know, I looked at it, I looked at the ingredients. It's nothing, like, there's nothing weird. But I told her, I'm like, you need to take clove.
Yeah.
What should I recommend? Because I know in Grand, you recommend making your own capsules. I was just reviewing it today, yeah. But could you
can buy capsules. She's not into doing it. You can find them and buy them.
How about like essential oil? Would that work?
Essential oil doesn't work all that well.
No.
Okay. No, it's not as strong.
I'll tell her.
The ideal is you take the clove, you grind them down, you make the capsules, you take them. Because you want the potency of that. And once you grind things, it oxidizes down. But the clove's important. There are some companies that sell them. I think Hulda Clark has some. But you have to you want to know how they cared for them, right? Did they grind down the clove and it's in the bins at the health food store waiting, and then you go, oh, just stick that in? That's been oxidized out, you know. So if they're ground and then they're put in the capsules right away, that's why doing it yourself, you know that. You don't know what they did at the processing plant. Did they make this batch of clove and half of it was going to go to clove jars and the other half they put in capsules and it got oxidized out. So that's the thing. But it is important because that's, you know, that's so typical. I feel so much better. I did the parasite cleanse. And then about 2 months later, it's like, it's coming back.
Yeah.
Gestation and then it's recolonization and yep. That's about right.
Okay. Oh, do you recommend a reputable, like, pre-made capsule brand?
I know that Hulda Clark, who writes about this a lot in her book, I think they have a company one that has a brand. And you can always call, like, if it's I don't know which companies have them. I don't think Thorne has them, but you find a company that has it and you call them up and you say, so tell me about, you don't say, how long does your thing sit out before, you know, tell me about your processing and how you make these clove capsules. And then you just, like, little by little, you ask the questions so that they don't jump in and get defensive.
Okay. All right. I'll do my research and then let her know. I don't want to scare her. I didn't want to scare her by talking about the eggs, but I did say, you should be taking some clove. And I kind of left it at that. And I showed her the chart of food. We said, eat these foods, avoid these foods, which it's going to be hard for her because she eats all the foods you should avoid.
That's American, right?
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I will.
Yeah. You get practice on the hardest people in the world to deal with, which is your family. And once you can work with them, boy, you can work with anybody.
Oh, let me tell you, they are not quitting their food habits. My older sister has a lot of digestion issues. She and I have very similar physiology, like almost identical. And she's been having lots of issues with chronic bloating, a lot of the same things that I suffer from. And I keep telling her, I'm like, you know, you got to eat the right foods, eat your green vegetables, your green smoothie, your green juice, please. Like one thing a day. Now she lives in Amsterdam. So I know the diet's a little bit different over there, but, yeah, she just, you know, told me, finally she got to the point. She's like, I'm not going. I'm constipated. I'm like, well, I'm like, you're going to have to stuff some food down you to push it through the other side. Cause you're not doing yourself any favors here. So literally that's the advice I've told her. I'm like, you're just going to have to eat so much fiber that you literally push it out the other end.
Hydration, like, is super important here.
Well,
right?
That too.
You won't move unless you're hydrated. Liver and bile flow is super important.
We actually have an ERC member that lives in Amsterdam. So she takes pictures of the most amazing meals. So it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. She just likes all the foods that are bad for your gut.
But what I was trying to say today, you know, when somebody, like, in my points that I was making and the mistakes that people are making, is like getting over that this for that mentality. Like, what's the herb? What's the pill? What's the herb? What's the nutrient deficiency? But what's the reason that you're having this symptom? Is it that the liver is congested? Methylation pathways are not supported. Not getting enough the right nutrition. Too much of other nutrients. Too much anti-nutrients. Not enough water. I mean, it goes on and on. And that's our job when we're doing that intake with people, is to ask enough questions. And then as they answer questions, because we understand how it works. That's the importance of understanding how it works. As they answer questions, you don't like go, okay, my next question is this. No, you're like, you're looping in and out of, oh, asking curious questions about, well, tell me more about that. Oh, you started getting constipated when you had an accident when you were 3 years old and your father beat you with a strap after that and said, don't crap your pants. And so then you got constipated. They didn't remember that. But as you ask them the right questions, they're suddenly going, oh my God, I forgot about that. You know what I mean? And that's our job, is to lead them into those areas that they may not go themselves. And that's why I'm so keen on knowing how it all works, so you can ask the right questions. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys. I mentioned it to somebody the other day, but I was talking to a friend of mine. Her husband just had gotten diagnosed with lymphoma, and they live in Arizona, and she used to live in Austin. She was a patient. I met her. She came to me as a patient, was referred by somebody, and we became friends. Story of my life. All my best friends came to me that way from that I met in Texas. They were patients, became friends. She's a very high stress kind of person. And he's more of a mellow kind of guy, but they've had a lot of stress in the last year. Anyway, she just was mentioning some stuff on this Facebook thing, and I went, let's talk. I want to ask you some questions. I want to see if I can help you steer you. But the kinds of things she was telling me, like they lack of, like they didn't test his insulin. They didn't test his hemoglobin A1C. They didn't test his homocysteine. Right. And he has cancer. Right. These are inflammatory markers. These are things that can contribute to cancer. They didn't test any of that. When he went in, he said his fasting glucose was 104. And he says that was a little high for me, but usually it's like 98. How many years has that been going on that this guy has been having high levels of insulin in his system, creative oxidative stress and creating this situation? And he had some exposures, and he was in the armed forces, and I think he was in the Gulf War or something, and he had lots of bad exposures to nuclear stuff. So that would trigger it. He has a double, you know, he's a homozygous MTHFRC 6772. So he's got some defective pathways if they're exposed. So he had all this stuff going on, but nobody asked him the right questions, right? So then they tested him, and they said, oh, my God, you're anemic. Your iron is 12. So we're going to take you in to do a transfusion. And now his iron went up. No, it was 10, and now it's 12 after their transfusion, but his ferritin is 700. I said to him, where was your iron to begin with? Where was your ferritin to begin with? He goes, it was 350. I'm like, well, why did they give you a transfusion? They don't think, right? You don't give somebody an iron transfusion when they have cancer. Unless, right, if everything's low and you know it's working properly, then you just give them a little bit just to get them into a healthy range. But with a 350 on ferritin and a 10 on iron, red flags go up. So it's just stuff like that that needs to change, and that's why I'm so keen.
Getting them to test ferritin or TIBC or any of that.
They did test it all, which was very unusual.
Well, no, that's exactly.
But they didn't know what to do with it. Right? They didn't know what to do with it. And I said, what's your MCV? Oh, well, his MCV was 80. So if somebody has an iron of 10 or 12, would you expect an MCV of 80? Or would you expect it to be lower or higher? And what could be the cause of it being 80? 80 is normal, by the way. Okay, this is tests for people who have been through the blood chemistry. You haven't been through it yet, Angelica, so.
That's a situation where you've got the offsetting conditions with the low B12, and then what's the other one?
Folate. B12, folate, B6. B6, just think of it this way, 6, 9, 12. B6, B9, B12. You just jump them up by threes. That's your pair. So it's 3, and you start with 6, and you end with 12. 3, 6, 9. 6, 9, 12. Right. So that's right. So if you've got an iron of that low, that's super, super low, you would expect the MCV, which is the size of the red blood cells, to be itty bitty, because microcytic anemia is a result of iron deficiency. Microcytic, tiny. So they should be like, I would expect it to be like 60 there, but it was 80. So what am I suspecting? Like Valerie said, I'm suspecting that there's also a deficiency of the B6, B9, B12, one or all of those that's offsetting it. So macrocytic anemia, tiny, iron deficiency, macrocytic, big, usually B6, B12, usually folate and B12. It's usually folate and B12. B6 comes in a little bit, and I throw that in because of the homocysteine relationship, but usually folate and B12 are the two, right? But then, you know, well, let's just talk anemia. And the whole chapter, there's a whole big thing in the thing, if you want to review it, on anemia. When we look at anemia, we want to look at all of these numbers in relation to each other. Not, this is in the normal range, this is in the normal range, this is in the normal range, this is in the high normal, this is in the low normal, this is in the middle normal. There's a problem here, right? Because there should be ratios between them. So say you have, okay, I'm going to throw this out here. You have a iron of, let's say it's 90, 95, which is right in the ideal range. You have an iron of 95, and you have a hemoglobin of 11, which is low. What could that mean? Because the iron gets bound with the oxygen and turns into hemoglobin. So if you have enough iron, would you expect to see enough hemoglobin? Yes? Adequate iron, you'd expect to see adequate hemoglobin, right? So what does it mean if you have adequate iron and low hemoglobin? What could that mean? I'm going to give you the term cofactor. Okay, so whenever you're thinking that there's enough of this to make that, but we're not making that, what's the cofactor? What's the vitamin or mineral cofactor that's involved in that that could be deficient?
Vitamin
C is important, but there's one other vitamin that's that's absolutely important for that lumping the oxygen on to and making the heme. Yeah. Anybody remember? Lynn, remember? Come on, guys. I'm going to have to go back and retest you guys.
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, you haven't done that one yet. Okay.
No, with my mom, I just going back.
You learned it. Go through it. I think you'll find it, you know, really helpful, especially since you've been through it, to really reinforce. I'll give you a hint.
It starts B. Is it B12?
Nope.
Because I know B12 and folate are important.
It's important for red blood cell maturation. That's why they're big. The immature red blood cells are big. And when they mature, because you have enough B12 and B, they go back to normal.
So you're saying that the iron is low.
The iron is normal. The iron is 90. It's good. Okay. But the hemoglobin's low.
And so
why don't we have, if we have enough iron,
talking about B6?
B6.
Yeah.
B6 is important.
Right.
Right. So see how, we're not testing vitamins and minerals, but when we look at a blood count, we can tell a lot of functional things about vitamins and minerals.
Right.
Makes sense? And if on top of that, you see they have really low AST, ALT, or GGT.
How low on
AST? Then their liver is stagnant and things can't go through.
Not necessarily. B6. Because they're B6-dependent enzymes, right? ALT, I would say below 10. ALT, AST below 10.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Below 10. Yeah, B6.
Yeah, maybe that's what helped me because I started taking B6, and now I've switched to P5P, But I started taking B6 every night. And that's where I've stopped the, I can't think. Getting the blood taken out.
A transfusion?
Yeah. But if you have...
What's that word for it when you get blood taken out?
Phlebotomy. Oh, a donation.
No, phlebotomy, because I have thalassemia.
Oh, you have thalassemia?
Mm-hmm. Secondary. Yeah, but when they told me I'd have to do the rest of my life, I told them no.
Why do you do phlebotomy for thalassemia? Thalassemia is super, like hemoglobin's usually like 8 or 9. The cells are really teeny tiny.
No, my labs are usually high.
That's not thalassemia. That would be hemochromatosis.
Mm-hmm. But I got them down.
Yeah, that's my brother has hemochromatosis, and he's gotten his down. But
whatever you told me, I did it.
Wouldn't fatty liver have something to do with this too?
To do with what?
I don't
with
have a
these low numbers. I'm just saying with the low numbers.
Oh, with low cell sizes, not as much. So I mean,
like the ALT.
No, those are fatty liver. Those would be high in fatty liver.
Yeah.
Those would be high in fatty liver. Maybe low is ignored by medicine. Low, they don't think anything of it. Same with ALK-Fos, right? If it's high, it could be bone, it could be gut, it could be liver, it could be heart. But if it's low, they go, it's no big deal. But it's a zinc-dependent enzyme. Mm-hmm. So we use it as an indirect marker for zinc. So there's
zinc or B6, right?
Yeah, mostly zinc, but yeah, it could be B6. So we're looking like when we're playing detective, right? Like, oh, I see a little hair over there, and oh, that hair matches the hair over here, and that's what we're doing when we're going through that blood test. Oh, there's a little marker here that might indicate dehydration. Oh, there's another one over here. But this one also can indicate fatty liver. Oh, there's another one here. And then we just start to put the puzzle pieces together and get an idea of what might be going on. Right? And that's the thing I think that's missing in our medical education. Nobody's really doing that. And that's what, you know, we can shine on.
Well, I just left my doctor's office, so she got her education today.
That's good.
She's funny. We talked for like an hour.
That's great. She's learned a lot from you. She gets it for free, right? And you get to reiterate it and practice.
I asked her because the other idiot doctor over the phone, when I got my labs for the ammonia, I go, you know, he told me just to drink water. She says, Janine, anything at 40, we're, you know, really worried about you. She's like, so what do you want to do? Because she knows I won't take lactulose and she doesn't like it either. And so I just told her what I'm doing. I'm taking digestive enzymes for the protein. And
what was your protein?
My protein level's normal. No, enzymes to help digest protein.
No, to digest the protein. Okay,
I was just taking digestive enzymes. I got I got some organic ones.
How do you like the one from the new liver gallbladder one from or the gallbladder complex from Seeking Health? Have you noticed anything with it?
I think my labs will be the best bet because. And we're going to check my lipids then. But I ordered an organic acid test also through you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get that done.
Good.
But for the high ammonia, she, you know, wants me, if I need something, to let her know. But I told her I'm just started supplementing with different probiotics, eating fermented foods. I told her about the week I went away. And then I'm taking calcium citrate is all they have right now to take with these green drinks to watch for the oxalates also.
Yeah.
And
again, B6 and magnesium are super important for oxalate excretion.
Yeah. That's what I was taking it for too. I forget everything, why I'm taking everything, but I only take one at night. Should I be taking more? I mean, my alkaline phos also went up. So I know my zinc. And I test my zinc weekly. And I bought some sprouted pumpkin seeds to eat, you know, a few a day. You know, I try to get it through food if I can.
Yeah, zinc is not that abundant. I mean, it's a good source, but it's not like Brazil nuts where you can eat three of them.
I have those too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, comparatively speaking, zinc is not that abundant like selenium is in Brazil nuts.
Oh, I know. I got zinc orotate.
Mm-hmm.
From Seeking Health.
Okay. There's so many different kinds. Zinc taurate is supposed to be good for, because the taurine is attached to it for gallbladder stuff.
Well, there's a few of his products, and they have a little bit of taurine in the ones I'm using. So I'm trying not to you can overdo it too.
Of course.
So, for me taking the gallbladder nutrients, that's why I was wondering, how am I going to tell if I'm doing better?
Well, a lot of people have fat digestion problems in if your fat absorption digestion is bad, if you have any steatorrhea and it improves.
Any what?
Steatorrhea.
What the heck is that?
Okay. steatorrhea. Who wants to explain steatorrhea? Valerie? No? You know what it is, right? Lynn?
Steatorrhea. Let me guess.
Yes.
Angelica?
I'm guessing it's something in your stool, like something in your stool that shouldn't be there. Fatty stool?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Fat your...
Yeah, but how do you tell? What color is the stool?
They might be pale or oily.
Pale. Stool.
And then they're really stinky.
Yeah.
And they stick to the toilet, right?
Yeah.
They can.
I don't have that.
They can. But you can tell, but that light colored stool, definitely. Clay colored stool is what the...
Yeah, that's the dangerous.
You can also fecal incontinence with that, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just looking for extra oils after bowel movements. And it's good. I've been having a couple bowel movements a day, which is improvement. So,
Do you ever fast? Have you ever fasted?
No. Like a water fast?
Yeah.
No.
Tell you what, if I were in your situation, I'd do a month water fast.
I don't know if I could do that.
But, given situation, you can't, then I would be doing alternating like we were just talking about with Angelica, where you do a couple of days and then you go back and you do and you just start to gradually do it and start doing periodic 4 or 5 day fasts and then do the fasting mimicking kind of stuff. You just need to lighten the load on your system.
I don't eat that much, to be honest with you. And so that's why I worry, because of the appetite. Which I've always discussed for years now, that I don't really get an appetite. So, I basically fast 16 hours a day almost sometimes.
Okay.
But, just pure water fast, maybe with some essential oils or something. I don't know. And right now, I don't need more stress on my body. I don't know maybe if it would be good for my adrenals.
Well, it depends. I mean, you'd have to do it for you in your situation. I'd want you to do it in a supervised setting where you're being monitored and you're not having to go out and do anything and you're not allowed to get stressed out. You're not allowed to do anything but meditate, sleep, and drink water.
Yeah, maybe after I move.
Kind of like what John did, McMahon.
Yeah, because I still have tremendous swelling going on in my feet. And I had an ultrasound done, so there's no calcium deposits in my veins, which was good. I was worried about oxalates and all that stuff and having, with my mom, the heart problems. So that's fine, but he still diagnosed me with PVD or whatever. And so I don't know why, what all the swelling is.
I don't know enough.
I mean, well, I go to the chiropractor, so he thinks it possibly just could still be from the herniated disc in my low back and my, because it radiates, I can feel it all the way down the nerve, down my leg. It's almost like the muscle, and he can't always get my hip back into place. So I break him every time, but he's working with my energy. Yesterday, because I'm having vertigo problems, but it's not the PVD. Or PPV? I forgot what the term he uses. So he thinks just energy, and like he was checking me and he went leaving. So I guess I was having a leaving pattern or something. So he fixed that. Monday he did a crystal for me, and I carried that with me all day, and I had a fantastic day. Yesterday was not good. Today I saw him again, and he has a machine that checks the chakras. So, and I was seeing yellow, really yellow, when he was adjusting me. So, and then he'll use the glasses sometimes. And yeah, my days, like I'm seeing him now at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my day seems to go so much better.
That's like good.
I wish I could see him every day. I'm very fortunate to have met him through this car accident.
That's great.
So I don't know what to do. With this, you know, coming back from the retreat, I guess Laura said I was contracting, and I'm not sure what that meant. And I just don't feel...
Got a lot of energy being moved, and it didn't get it all out.
Yeah, and I'm finding myself all over the map. And now I'm settling down, and I'm just going to go, I'm overcommitted myself. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this and this. And now I'm thinking I'm just going to write my list and say, okay, sorry, this diet needs to wait, this needs to wait, and just cut it down and just focus on just...
You need to prioritize on the things that are most important. So... Yeah.
Because I want to work on that. I love, you know, vitamins. I mean, I'm halfway through those, you know, and then I start history taking, and then, okay, I'll jump into TEH, and it's like, oh my gosh, you need to just focus on one thing. I can't complete NEP overnight or my insulin resistance.
No, but if you have it set up, like Lynn says, you know, you chunk it down and you say, I'm going to work on this 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week or whatever the amount of time is, and you just do that. And that will carry you over time, right? It's the consistency. Because I think what happens is people get, it's like so much get overwhelmed, and then you don't just keep chipping away at it. You just give up. And if you just do it little by little, you get through it.
Well, I think getting my ammonia levels down, which I have that Ecophage from Body Ecology. I'm taking that, a probiotic from Seeking Health for Women. And then I have bifidobacteria, some immune support, fermented foods. And I think once this level of ammonia comes down, I think my brain will calm down too. Because it's starting to clear out, I think. Because I'm really, it's like, I don't think I can overdo it on bifidobacteria. You know?
I mean, you can overdo on anything, but, you know, it's less likely that you're going to.
Well, with the condition, with the ammonia, you know, I just need to battle that.
Right. So. There's Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
Yay, Brandon.
It looks like a signature guy.
He's a bird.
He's a bird. We missed you when you left so abruptly.
I know. I apologize. I feel like it was all too sudden and I left way too soon. I think we should just have a week-long retreat. That way everybody gets grounded and we can kind of just... mingle.
I like a week-long retreat. I like that idea. I'd like to do it at the beach. How about Maui, where you got the beach and the mountains?
Oh, yes.
With a big discount code.
Oh, man.
We can rent a house out.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that a couple of years ago in Florida. We rented a house. I mean, the house was, it was a beautiful location, but the problem was there were, 18 of us and 3 bathrooms.
Oh, no.
And food in Hawaii is wickedly expensive, especially the way we eat. I mean.
It's available, though. On Maui, it is available. And they have local people who make, fermented macadamia nut culture. Breads and coconut kefir homemade fresh there on the island. And that's why I love that island. The other islands,
call David Wolf.
What?
Call David Wolf.
Call David Wolf.
Avocado.
He's on Kauai.
Yeah, we'll go stay with him.
Kauai,
we could just eat his farm.
David's super famous. He's not going to let a bunch of us just come.
I met him a few years ago.
You never know.
You never know. That's true.
I mean, a bunch of practitioners. I mean, to live on the farm and eat all the cacao and not sleep.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I have slightly different opinions about food, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's still, I would still love to see his farm.
That would be fun. Yeah, it would be great fun. I was in Kauai a few years ago.
I know. I thought you would. That we could tell us what he's really like.
Well, I've met him. I know what he's really like.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I know he's a different species, but, you know.
Yeah, he means well. He, you know, the thing is, he's the world's leading authority in nutrition, is what he calls himself.
Oh.
Right? The foremost nutritionist. And as I listen to him, he really talks like it makes it sound like everything he says is scientifically based, except if you're sitting in the audience and you know the science.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not like everything he says is wrong, but he has some misconceptions about how the body actually works. I mean, he's great. He's doing a great job of, but I, you know, where I really disagree, like, you know, greens aren't superfoods, but cacao. Let's just eat cacao all day long.
Yeah. You know what? Before I forget, I was watching Dr. Tom the other day, or last week, a few weeks ago, and he mentioned about coconut oil and the pulling. He stopped it.
Why?
And if you can find out his research, he says whatever he read, that actually the bacteria, the coconut oil helps some bacteria slip through. And I couldn't ask him a question, too many people on there. But he's saying that the bacteria actually gets into the gums or slips it. It goes into the cells. And the coconut oil helps it. So he stopped oil pulling.
Well, the thing is, the original people who did oil pulling used sesame oil.
Yeah.
And they're using castor oil now.
Castor oil, really?
Yeah, who's the girl? Marisol?
Marisol?
Yeah,
she's using castor oil for oil pulling?
Yeah, she has a company, right, with the pack and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to see, have her on ACR.
She is. She was supposed to be on ACR one day that we had a conflict, and she, I don't know, we have to get back with Laura to get her rescheduled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... yeah, I believe she's doing the oil pulling with that, too.
I'll ask her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. So, this Shine, we need to find out what he found out or what research he dug up on that one.
I don't, because I'm, you know, I don't remember to do it. I've done it a few times.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anybody have any clinical questions or technical questions about content or patients or labs or?
I have a question that's about me.
Okay.
I'm still having some frozen shoulder issues, and now the grip on that hand is getting weak. So I'm getting
encouraged. Have you had an EMG?
Excuse me?
Have you had an EMG to see where the connection's being broken?
Like no, some people are talking MRIs and x-rays, and I wanted to get your advice on what the next step should be.
When I see impingement-type syndromes where you're saying you're losing grip, that says the nerve's being compressed and you have the shoulder, I would be looking at an EMG.
How do you get that?
You ask somebody to run it. Well, chiropractors can, and I don't know, in Texas, I think in Texas, because it's a needle EMG, you know, this like, they put they're testing the signals as it goes down to see where it might be interfered with. You know, without actually doing a full evaluation, I would be looking at infraspinatus, and that's a trigger points in the infraspinatus. Get that trigger point book if you haven't already gotten it. That what's the name of that book? It's the self trigger point book. It's a really good book, and it maps everything out. And I have had really great results with impingements with the shoulder. So, you know, I'm doing what I would be doing with an impingement or a frozen shoulder is I would be doing ultrasound to get into the joint, and I'd be using some kind of topical like menthol, mint, or even lobelia and other things that can get in deep into the joint, doing the ultrasound over it. And you can buy $150 on an ultrasound. And Karen Osborne completely healed her shoulder. I started working with her on it, and we just couldn't do it often enough. She went and bought her own ultrasound machine and completely cured it. And you want to be looking for where's the impingement happening. There's a bunch of tests that if you're seeing a chiropractor, hopefully you did, or she did, it's the Apley's test, and the there's one where you turn your head to one side, take a deep breath, and then you turn your head to the other side, take a deep breath, and you're figuring out which nerves, which muscles are compressing on which nerves. You have the brachial plexus and the nerve and the circulation coming down through here. And there's all kinds of muscles that overlie that. So I would stay looking at that. But if it is actually now starting to go weak, it says to me either there's something happening at the neck that's affecting that. Is it your grip, your full grip? Is it certain fingers? Is it certain muscles? Like, these are all questions that I would be willing to answer.
It seems like it's the whole hand. And my little finger is getting a little bit tingly numb, but that's also the same finger that I had to have stitches on a couple months ago. I nearly cut the whole pad off. So it's got tingles for two reasons now. It's hard to tell. But I'm finding it harder to hold like a glass or something in that hand.
Yeah, so there's some muscular that you want to get that fixed before the muscle atrophies. Okay, so there's nerve supply to the muscle. It sounds like the nerve supply is being compressed into the muscle. So we want to know, is it at the cervical spine, right? So it's determining which muscle. Is it at the brachial plexus here, the thoracic outlet? Or is it even sometimes in the forearm, right? And usually it's a combination of all of that. So when I've worked with people with nerve compression syndromes, we usually do a whole combination of, we do the trigger point work and find them. Oftentimes I find them in the infraspinatus, the subscapularis, the pec minor, the scalenes. And there's a bunch of tests you can do to isolate which ones they are. I always do ultrasound in the area to loosen up the muscle. I do trigger point work. I've done acupuncture. So whenever I do a combination, I can't say any one thing alone does it, but I do that combination of all of that stuff. And then with the shoulder itself, we're doing mobilization, resistant mobilization. So how's the highest you can get? Okay, here it is. Okay, so now I'm going to hold down, and we're just going to move through that up until that. So you're actually engaging the musculature. So it's hard to describe, but there's all kinds of stuff like that I would do.
Okay. Yeah, that's scary. That happened to me with my car accident. My spinal column was being pinched in my neck. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where is the best place to start to get the EMG?
You have a chiropractor. Ask your chiropractor. He'll either do it or know someplace where you can get it done.
Okay. And the other things that were suggested were cryotherapy and Eirosti.
Eirosti? I don't know what that is.
That's new to me too.
I don't know what that is. Cryotherapy is cold. You know, whenever there's something where there's some muscle tension, I'm not a fan of cryotherapy unless you're doing alternating.
Okay.
Right. That's just throwing out stuff without knowing the diagnosis, right? And don't use the D word, but without doing a discovery process to determine which structures are being impinged, because there's definitely an impingement. Which muscles are involved, which nerves are involved. That would be my approach.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And the musculoskeletal module talks about a lot of that stuff. I mean, not particular diagnosis stuff, but it does have a bunch of that stuff in it.
So the EMG tests the nerves?
It's the nerve conduction. So it's testing the muscles to see are the nerves going to those muscles functioning.
Is that done with needles?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I didn't do it.
Okay. I mean, you do an MRI, but it's static, right? So you don't necessarily see a nerve compression syndrome. You can see it if there's a tumor. You can see it if there's a bone displacement. You can see it if there's a disc bulge. But you won't see that the scalene muscle is contracting on that. There are tests for it. Look up on Google. You can find YouTube videos on just about everything. Look up thoracic outlet syndrome orthopedic testing. Right. Who else has questions? So, Brandon, you weren't on at the beginning when I gave these guys a test, so we'll have to give him a test.
Test me.
I'm ready. Test you. What module have you completed through?
It's the one after the adrenals, so I think it's another
Adrenal.
Right. I think it's adrenal.
Okay, so I'm going to give him one that I didn't give you guys. What would you be thinking if somebody gets their blood test done on the CBC? The RDW is 17.
I mean, that strikes me as, that would be width. I don't know exact ranges. I would say that sounds.
All right. It's high. I'll just tell you it's high. So
yeah. I know mine. I was trying to think of my numbers because I know mine were high. It was because of anemia, and I think that's the body's way of adapting to fill that volume to just expand the cell size.
Cell size itself. It's the variability. So it's the red cell distribution width.
Yeah.
And it has to do with how much variability there is in sizes. So we want that number to be, I think, below 12. 12 or so is actually considered good. Like, you don't want more than that much variability. If there's variability, it means that, like, some, you know, say all your cells are rotating around and some may be this big, some of them may be that big. They're very okay. But if there's a lot of variability, like 17 is a lot, you're having some cells that are like this and some cells that are like that. And that suggests that there's probably some iron deficiency and B12 folate type deficiency.
Right. I wish I had my test results on me right now. I mean, I could look them up very quickly, but I feel like my number was even higher than that.
It was higher than, then that's probably the combination. So then what you'd look at, what else would you look at to see what's going on? If you see that number, what else are you going to look at to investigate?
I mean, I would look at like total iron binding capacity possibly.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I don't think B12 levels are very accurate just because those are serum levels. I mean,
that's right.
And I don't think a CBC even tells you more than that. Because I know you test for, like, methylmalonic acid for that.
For B12, right. So what else can give you an idea? So MCV gives you an idea, right? That's what you were referring to. So what else gives you an idea of B12 status that's more of a functional test that we could get?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that right now.
Who else knows that? So besides methylmalonic acid, what other are functional indications of a potential B12 deficiency?
MCH?
Yeah, but they're all connected. MCV, MCH, MCHC, they're all calculated from the same thing. That's good. What else? Lynn? She's cheating. She's looking it up, but that's okay.
No, actually I had, I realized I was talking and I was muted. So some of the other iron things, like your transferring.
B12.
Oh, I thought you were talking iron. I'm sorry. I heard him talking about his anemia and everything like that.
Right. No, I said, what are some other functional indicators of B12? We don't like B12 serum. And methylmalonic acid is more expensive and less likely to be done. So what else can give you a clue as to B12 status?
So are you still looking within a blood lab or you want something else?
Within a blood lab.
Okay.
What would you want to run?
Well, you've got your hemoglobin, your hematocrits, your
alkaline phos.
Alkaline phos is more for zinc.
Well, I still think some of the iron ones could tell you some things.
They can, but I'm looking for something very specific that you all should know.
Is homocysteine on a CBC?
That's not on a CBC. It's on a blood lab. But yes, homocysteine. That's what I'm looking for. Uh-huh. Homocysteine. Yes. Yes. So whenever you're thinking B12, so you say somebody just gets a CBC, right? And you're going, oh, that CBC, I don't know what's going on here. The MCV looks a little bit on the high side, but I'm not sure. Are there other indications? That could be B12. It could be folate. What else could it be? So homocysteine, right? They're functional, way better than serum B12. Because you can have a 1,400 serum B12 and an MCV of 100. And that means, a homocysteine of 12. And it's probably a deficiency of B12, even though people will say, the regular docs will say, whoops, you can't give that person B12. They're already high. Well, they're not methylating, right? And what form of B12 are they taking and all that?
I should have known that because my niece, hers is at 1,600 on her labs or something.
Yeah.
So she's supposed to be going back in soon. And she had the gastric bypass, so, everything's messed up.
Intrinsic factor's gone.
I want her to check that because I put her on the PatchMD, the gastric pack that they have, using patches so she can get nutrients.
So she could get nutrients in. Right. That's like a godsend for people with the gastric bypass.
Yeah.
And malabsorption. So what's intrinsic factor? Who wants to tell me what intrinsic factor is?
Intrinsic factor is what's necessary to, it works with your gut microbiome to try to build up your B12. It's what really makes it absorbable so your body can utilize it.
So where does it get produced?
In your intestine.
In a large colon?
I would say stomach.
Thank you. And what cells in the stomach produce it?
The parietal cells.
There you go. Parietal cells produce intrinsic factor, grabs the B12 and carries it all the way through. But where in the intestine does the B12 get absorbed?
Terminal ileum.
Thank you. All right.
I know that because mine is gone.
Gone. And yeah. So, topical B12 patches is probably your best friend. Sublingual.
Yeah. I use a sublingual adenosyl and hydroxycobalamin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, right? So there's just so much to know that is really, it's important when we're looking at the basic labs because most people have them. So I would highly recommend you all review it. And Angelica, you haven't gotten there yet, so you're getting a little head start. But I highly recommend you all review it. Because there's so much there. You can play it over and over and over again. And the more you look at them, the more you know it. I don't remember many of the lab ranges except the ones I see a lot. So MCV I get, I know what the ranges are. MCHC, I'm not exactly, I don't look at that as much. So I don't know the exact ranges of that. Hemoglobin I get, some of the common ones I know, but some of the less common ones, it's like, don't tell me a number. I need to know the range to see where it is in there because I don't recognize them. So don't be hard on yourself for not memorizing ranges. You never just sit down and try to memorize ranges. That's what charts are for. But the more you look at it, the more you see. Like, oh, RDW at 17. No, if it's above 14, I'm a little concerned. A lot concerned, actually. Anybody else have questions? I'm going to go. If not, I'm going to finish my dinner and get ready for my family to come back.
I have a question that came up talking with an ERC person about the ratio of K2 with D3. K2 is necessary to actually use D3 properly. But if you're having to take a lot of D3, do you need to limit the K2 that you take with it? Like if there's a combined D3, K2?
I usually do. And I don't remember what the upper safe limit is. So you always want to look at what's the upper safe limit of something. Like with D, you don't want it to go above 100 in the serum, right? So that's what you're watching for. And if I usually tell people if they're taking a combo supplement and they need to, like they're really super low in D and they're going to be taking more for a while, that they probably should look at a separate D. So do the D3 combo with the K2, but for the base, and then the extra you do with just the D3.
How much of the combo are you comfortable with?
I don't, like I said, those are the things I don't remember the upper, limit on K2, but we could easily look that up. Just look up upper limit.
K2. Wow, there's a nice B12 flow shot or flow chart.
Oh, what, a toe chart?
A flow chart for B12.
Oh, where's that? You have a link? You want to share your screen?
Yeah, it's yours.
Oh, it's mine. Oh, cool.
I went to Macronutrients to look at B12, and there's this just little words, but very interesting. Talking about the small intestines, it's just this little wording chart.
Here's recommended daily intakes and upper limits. It probably says it in that. That's why I want somebody who wants to really learn micronutrients to go through your stuff and create these charts as you go through. And I can tell you exactly what I would love to see in the charts, because then you have this beautiful reference chart that nobody's made. Probably sell it. Okay, so let's look up nutrients.
Holistic ranges?
Yeah. No, it's way more than, okay, I'm looking up K2, just give me a second. Okay.
So I'm on the Linus Pauling site, and let's see, because there's the different kinds, there's the MK4.
Yeah.
So, and they're saying here.
They're saying no, there's none determined for upper limit, but it's fat soluble, so you do need to be.
It says, although allergic reaction is possible, there's no known toxicity associated with high doses, dietary or supplemental, of vitamin K1 or vitamin K2. The same is not true for the synthetic K3. The synthetic can interfere with the function of glutathione. If it's given by injection, is induced liver toxicity, jaundice, and hemolytic anemia. So they don't use that form anymore for treatment of vitamin K deficiency. They do say large doses of vitamin A and vitamin E have been found to antagonize vitamin K.
Right. So I'm always careful with any of your fat solubles. You do want to be careful about. I haven't tested anybody with K2, but I should actually test it. You can test the fat soluble vitamins and see if it goes above what's considered a safe limit. Because, you know, I think it's just not determined that they haven't found it, but how high have they tested and all that. So I would just still use an error on the side of caution. The RDA is, where'd it go? This actually looks like a really cool little site if you want it. It has calculations, but I'm going to put it in here in the chat. But it says basically the daily value around 120 for males and 90 for females. So you'd want to look at what that is. And generally speaking, for fat solubles, you don't want to take more than a couple, maybe three times the RDA, unless you've determined that there's a deficiency, in which case. What's that?
There's a chart in Macronutrients under vitamin K. Adequate intake.
Yeah. What does it say?
It goes from infants to adults, and so adults is 120.
Yeah, adults is 120.
14
yeah.
to 18 is 75, you know, 60, 55, 30.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could usually go above it, but not, you don't want to go like 10 times it. Like with a water soluble, if you go 10 times the RDA, you know, you're not going to kill yourself with it. But with the, I'm always concerned, even if they haven't discovered an upper limit, I'm concerned about. I'm going to give you this link. It's just a little, you can put in the nutrient and you can just click it down and it gives you the little chart for upper limit.
Healthiest foods, that one?
No, this is actually a little calculator. So,
there too? Okay.
Here, try this. Just like a little drop-down list, and you put in your, you just pull it down, and it tells you all the information. I'm right.
I always forget about this one.
There's a lot in that module, but what I envision is like a list that's, down the side is the list of all your nutrients, and across the top would be signs of deficiency, signs of excess, upper limit, RDA, or recommended ideal range, functions, interactions, what other things it interferes with. You know, this is really like beautiful spreadsheet that you just have that you can look anything up in without having to go to different places. You know what I mean? Like the books don't
put your sheets together.
What?
Just put all your sheets together.
All the sheets together, right. But it would be nice to have it in one chart. In a book, you can't do it because it's just so much the size of the book, right? But with a spreadsheet, it doesn't matter how big it gets. And you can reference all your information in one place. I think it would be a really cool project.
Yeah.
Want to do it for extra credit? Let me know. I would do so many things if I had time. I would do so many things that are fun. See, a chart like that, I would have really a lot of fun doing like the first two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And mapping it out and go, oh, I need this. Oh, I have to, you know, and do enough of them that I go, and then I go, tedious. Somebody else finished. That's how I am. I like the exciting part of getting it started and figuring it out, and then the tedious part drives me nuts.
So do anybody in the programs have knowledge about the world's healthiest foods? Is that the name of the site?
Yeah, it's the name of the site. I actually bought their book to see what it was like. It's a huge, thick book like this. And they have some really pretty pictures of things in there. And
well, they have all interactive links on their site.
They do, yeah.
So for, because I even forget about this. It tells you one cup. It gives you the measurements.
I gave them credit for it, but I did them in the charts to show you ideas. But it's really nice. They're not 100% complete, but yeah, it's really good because you can look up when you're trying to help somebody. Like, okay, they seem to have a deficiency of this particular nutrient. What are the foods that contain it? And you look at their diet, and then you can look at those charts, and you can just give them lists, right, and say, here, I want you to include at least this many servings of these foods every day to get this deficiency taken care of. I'd much prefer that to supplements.
Yep, it seems to work the best these days, actually.
Say it again?
That seems to be working the best these days for me, is getting it through food.
Oh, I've got to show you guys. I'll load them up. I actually reorganized my whole area in my kitchen where I have all my elixirs and my herbs and my powders and all this stuff. And let's see if I can show it. I took a picture and I'm loving it. I just bought these little, okay, let's see if you can see this.
I saw your video.
Did you?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Instead of the big mess that I used to have over there, but they're all organized. They're all alphabetical. They have labels on the jars themselves. They have labels on the top. Those little drawers have smaller jars. So it's anything that had smaller jars. The Lazy Susan is at one end. So I can spin it around. That has like little teas and things. And then on the other end, and then the blender fit in the middle. And then the other end, I have some of the like green powders over in the corner. So there's my cool little station I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I have mine all in these 99-cent tubs. I finally put them all in. But I separate them, you know, for daily subs, gut and brain, and then all the protein powders, and then somehow it's migrated to the kitchen counter. It's like, how much stuff do you need, you know? But I rotate everything.
I think it's good to rotate. And these are all foods. These are not, like, a couple of things on there may be a supplement. Those are all food-based stuff. So I just muscle test. I just do a sway test on myself. Like, okay, what am I going to put in my smoothie today? And I'll feel a calling to something, and then I'll double check it. So I don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
Yeah.
I remember.
Kind of really just take a breath and just like tune into what is my. And the other day I was like, oh, I should have this. I'm like, it just doesn't feel like the right thing to have right now. It just energetically doesn't seem like the right thing for me to have right now. Anyway. All right. I'm going to take off. You guys, thank you for being here. Good call.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Have fun.
Bye, everyone.